All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you and welcome again to Kids Sunday here at Stony Creek Church. Well, I'm so glad you're here. This last week has been a great VBS. In a little while, we're going to see the highlight reel, the video highlight reel of all the excitement that was going on within these walls and outside in the parking lot during this last week. And the kids are going to be back up here to lead us in one final song of praise before we dismiss today. And then after the service today, a lot of things going on. We've got our newbie lunch. The kids just told you about it, but I want to personally invite you, if you're newer to the church and you're looking to take that next step just to get connected a little bit, we've got some leaders that are going to be back there and some other folks from the church that love to eat some pizza and salad with you. And I'm going to be back there, and so I hope to see you there if you're newer to the church. We'll enjoy that. It's all free, it's all paid for, and your whole family is invited. All right, we got enough for the kids and everybody. Okay. Well, before we get to all of that stuff, I've been asked to come up here and share a message with the whole church family to wrap up what the kids have been learning this week at VBS. You see, they've been studying in the letter of Ephesians in the New Testament, there in chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul, he's under arrest. He's in chains at the time. And he was looking at one of his guards that's standing over him in the armor of this Roman guard, and he uses it as an analogy to describe the spiritual armor that God has equipped every believer with in the Christian life. And that's what's written about here in chapter 6. And so you want to get out your outline, you want to get out your Bible to chapter 6 there in Ephesians, and we're gonna jump in. This section toward the end of the letter begins with these words in verse 10. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Three words to describe might, strength, power. All right, he's talking about being strong in the Lord. And so today's message is entitled Strength for the Battle. Strength for the Battle. Now, your kids have been studying the armor that's about to be listed here. We're going to read through it in a little bit in the following verses. But I'd like to point out, in addition to walking through, we're going to look at a little bit of that today. I'd like to point out some things in this passage that are important for every believer, from the youngest to the oldest. And I want to talk about it in context of applying these things in our house, in our family. It's Kids Sunday, after all. And so there's going to be a little emphasis on how we can pass these important things on and practice them with our kids. They're called three mighty powerful truths there in your outline. And the first one that you want to write down is this: Jesus leads you into real battle. Jesus leads you into real battle. And so we're going to start here by looking at the need for this armor. All right, it's this battle we're in. And you can help me out when we get to the yellow print. All right, here it goes. Paul writes, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There is a real battle going on. The armor of God that we're going to look at, it can be useful in all kinds of situations. That's true. But it's important when we look at this armor that we understand it's not just a bunch of tips or tricks for living a happier life or a safer life even. All right? We don't reduce it to that. This is battle armor for a real battle that's going on. It's in the spiritual realm, but it's just as real. It's just as real, and it's all around us. It's a battle that began long before any of us. Kids, if you even, maybe you're here with your grandma or grandpa, this battle began even before they were born. Can you picture that long ago, kids? Even before them. But here's the thing, we're all in it today, whether you know it or not. whether you like it or not. You're in this battle. And so we're going to look at it. The kids at VBS have been learning about two kingdoms at war this week. There's God's kingdom. And by the way, they're both represented on the stage. Over here, we've got the powerful knight riding on this white horse representing Jesus. And he's got his army with him. The army is bigger than just two soldiers in real life. But this is a symbol. That's not really Jesus. It's cardboard. Okay. And then we've got the enemy kingdom represented by this creepy looking dragon over here. And his jaw's been slowly and steadily breaking for the entire week, which I think is kind of cool, to be honest with you, that the enemy's jaw's been smashed and broken, you know. That's kind of neat. It's also a flaw in my design. I'm the one that made that, but I thought I'd give it a spiritual purpose. All right. Well, the Bible teaches right in the beginning, the opening chapters of Genesis, that God created this whole universe, this planet, and it was good. It was good. And he ruled over this kingdom of the universe. But then, not too long after, in Genesis 3, we know the story of the garden and the fall when sin entered the world. It began with this enemy called the devil rebelling against God and leading people to rebel against God too. We sinned against our Creator and we were separated from him. See, this battle isn't like Avengers or Justice League. Those things are fun, but those are fake. This is the real, this is as real as it gets. This is the real deal. That's when the battle kicked off. And Genesis, through Revelation, the whole Bible describes this world since that fall of being under the control of the evil one. We're in the wicked kingdom. We're born into the wicked kingdom, separated from our God who loves us and created us to be with him. We separated ourselves from him. But God didn't want it to stay that way. And so the King of Heaven himself, Jesus, God the Son, became a human being to show us what God was like and to break into enemy territory, into what the devil took over and begin taking it back. Jesus died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin that separated us from God. The punishment, the penalty for that, is that separation goes on forever, in eternity, called hell. But Jesus suffered that separation on the cross in our place. And then he arose from the dead. After he was killed on the cross, he arose from the dead on the third day, proving that he is God Almighty, just as he claimed to be. Proving that he beat death and hell for every single person who trusts in him as Lord and Savior. Lord means God, the boss. I'm not in control of me anymore. Jesus, just like we sang in that song, he's the commanding officer. He's the boss. He's God of me, not me. He is. And Savior, the one who died to rescue me. Well, as you can imagine, the enemy hates this. The enemy hates this. The devil's headed for destruction, and he wants the people that God loves and that Jesus came to rescue to go with him, to stay on that path to destruction. And so this is the fight that's going on, the real battle. He is doing everything he can, the enemy is, to stop you from surrendering to King Jesus. And it might not always look bad. It might just be to distract you from the truth. You could be having a fun time, and it's still war against you to keep you from God. But if you do come to that point where you've pledged allegiance to Jesus as your king, as your God, you've crossed over from the kingdom of darkness and death to the kingdom of light and life, well, the enemy isn't done with you yet. See, now you're on the other side. You're on the winning side. But the enemy's still raging against God's kingdom, and that includes you. He wants to stop you. If you belong to Jesus, he wants to stop you from following him as much as he possibly can. He definitely wants you to stop you from sharing your faith in Jesus with others. That is top priority, If the enemy's already lost you, he just wants to make sure you don't help in him losing somebody else. And so he's going to do everything he can to distract you, to discourage you, to dissuade you from telling people about Jesus. This is the spiritual battle we're in. It includes all kinds of tactics from the enemy, but it's real. It's all around us. That's why Paul says our battle isn't against people. He says it's not against flesh and blood. Now, it's true. Every person, including me, before I trusted in Jesus to save me, I was an enemy of God. But we're on a rescue mission. Jesus is leading us on a rescue mission to save these people in the enemy camp, giving them opportunity. He gave me an opportunity about 25 years ago when somebody shared the gospel with me. And I put my trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I was rescued from the enemy's grip in my life and from my own sin that separated me from God. Now, we don't need to get freaked out talking too much more about the devil, all right? We don't need to spend all day talking about demons and his schemes and stuff. It's good to be aware of those things, but I'd rather spend my time talking about our infinitely powerful God who protects us, who is completely more than able to protect us and defend us and fight for us. And yet we still need to talk about the battle, that it's a reality, that we need to be engaging in this battle by sharing our faith with people. Moms and dads, this life isn't just about sports and school and trips and plans and retirements. More important than talking and planning all those things with your kids, and you talk and plan those things with your kids, but even more important than that is the real spiritual battle we're in as Christians. If your house belongs to Jesus, we should be talking and planning how are we a part of God's advancing kingdom. It's the most important reason why we still have breath in our lungs until the Lord calls us home or returns. And so if this battle is so important, what is it that God has given us to equip us? Because the devil does sound scary, and he is powerful. So how has he equipped us? Well, the second mighty powerful truth there on our outline, number two, is that you have a powerful weapon and a suit of armor. You want to write that down, that you have a powerful weapon and a suit of armor. We're going to keep reading in our passage, and I hope you've written those things down because the yellow print comes up quick, so you need to be looking up at the slide. All right, here we go. The text goes on, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Yeah, put on. I wanted to emphasize that. We need to put it on. We're going to talk about that. So that when the day of evil comes, when the enemy's coming at you, which is going to happen a lot in our lives, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. These are our powerful weapon and suit of armor. Now, boys and girls, you've been learning about these different pieces and just how they work in our lives, right? Talk to your parents about that. Randy did a whole series through Ephesians last summer, and right around this time, actually it was in July, he talked about the armor of God and gave us a run-through of each piece. We're not going to do that exactly here today, but you could listen to the podcast, but really, your kids could just tell you, because they've been learning and studying it this week at VBS. But what I want to point out here is that we indeed have this powerful spiritual defense that God has given us as he sends us out as ambassadors of Jesus into the world. He knows we're in for a battle, and he has fully equipped us for it. But as we read in the yellow print, we need to put it on, all right? If we don't put on the armor, if we don't practice these things in our lives every day, we are leaving ourselves open to attack. in our lives. It's like we got these great tools just sitting right there in the corner of our house, and we're not putting them on when we go out into the world, when there's a real battle going on. No, let's not be like that. When the enemy tries to discourage us with lies, we need that belt of truth. We need to tell ourselves the truth. The enemy says, you're alone. You'll never make a difference. You're stuck in your sin. The truth is, if you've surrendered to Jesus, you're forgiven of your sin. That you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can overcome that sin. That you can be effective in sharing your faith. That you can follow Jesus. That he does love you. That you are never alone. Even if there isn't any other people, human beings around you, you are still with the Lord. You're never alone. We need to tell ourselves the truth, but you got to do it every day. When we walk out carrying the gospel of peace, you know, walk out every day bringing the gospel with you into your life. Be ready to share it. Your feet fitted. Just he's giving us this picture of walking out. We need to go out of our house prepared to bring that gospel of reconciliation between God and people with us when we go. When the enemy's attacking us in all different kinds of ways, he talks about those flaming arrows being shot at us. Again, it could be discouragement. It could be sickness or a death that just could be devastating. Some kind of diagnosis that just could ruin you. And the enemy's going to try to use it in that way. Or it could be a financial crisis you're going through or a relationship strain or struggle you're going through. Well, we need to hold up that shield of faith. That's trust in God. That God is more than able to carry us through even this big trial. And it'll extinguish the fire in those arrows. It's not that those arrows stop coming. This life is a fallen world. And the enemy's going to keep coming after us. The arrows are going to keep coming. But we trust God to get us through it. And he'll be faithful every time. If we don't pick up these kinds of things daily, if we don't practice righteousness, you know, we're going to fall for temptation. If we're not trying to live righteously, right living for the Lord, we're going to fall for people in this world redefining what's right and wrong. If we don't know it and we don't practice it. And so if we don't put this on, we're going to fall for the discouragement. But let's not do that. Let's not be overtaken by our troubles. Let's not be knocked down by the enemy. Because we're putting these things on daily in our lives and teaching our kids to do the same. Beyond all the armor that's like a defense around us, a spiritual defense, God also gives us a weapon, the Bible, called a sword. It's called a sword. This is a blade that cuts. It cuts through the mind and the heart and the spirit. Every time I read the Word of God, every day when I'm reading it, it's cutting into my soul. And not to hurt me, not to inflict pain or damage. It's like a skilled surgeon with a scalpel performing this miraculous surgery on my soul. Saying, Chris, you need to live like this. You need to quit living like this. You need to cut this out of your life. You need to do this. When I'm witnessing to a friend and sharing the gospel with a friend, I try my best to get them to read the words of Scripture. We might go into Romans, and I'll ask him or her, you know, hey, read this. Rather than just saying and it sounding like my opinion, I want them to read the real words of God. I want them to see them. You know, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. Or Romans 6:23, that the wages of our sin is death. I don't want them to just hear it as my opinion. I want them to see it and read it and speak it and think on it as the Word of God. All right? And that, you know, anyone, at Romans 10:9, anyone who confesses Jesus as Lord and believes in their heart God raised them from the dead will be saved. I know that that's getting in there, into their heart and their head and their soul when they're hearing. And the Word of God is also a blade like a sword, causing damage to cut off lies and strongholds that the enemy might be digging into our lives, and we can bust those down with the Word of God. But we need to be in the Word of God, don't we? And so do you prioritize being in the Bible regularly, daily? If you have kids in the home, do they see you reading your Bible regularly and spending that time with the Lord? Do you encourage it as a family, that time as a family? Maybe around a mealtime or something, and you gather around the Bible while you're eating dinner, or if you want, you can play what we do. We have the Bible app, and we just play the audio. We have the Bible read to us while we're eating, and then we discuss it a little bit as a family after dinner and spend some time praying together. We've got about 18 years to establish a real love for God's Word in the heart and the soul of our kids. And of course, we need to have it established in our own lives too. With all of these things, the sword of the Spirit and this armor, it's all provided to us from God. But at the end of the day, the key is for any of these things to be effective the way God intends, we got to pick them up. We got to pick them up. We need to put them on. We need to apply them. Use your powerful weapon and your suit of armor that God gave you. Finally, the last mighty truth that we're going to look at, you know, in addition to all these things, God has given us something even more powerful. You say, wait a second, Chris, even more powerful than the Bible? Yes, even more powerful than the Bible. Number three, the third mighty truth here, your greatest strength is in who you know. Your greatest strength is in who you know. Before listing this armor, the Apostle Paul was talking about the real battle that we're in, that it's not against people, it's not against, you know, the daily grind of life, like I'm just putting on the armor of God because I got shortchanged at Wendy's, and so I'm wearing my armor to not get discouraged. Okay, but no, this is a real battle. This is life and death, eternal life and death that we're fighting in. And he says, God gives you all this stuff all these powerful, powerful tools. But Paul also says we have something even stronger than these, and it's our relationship with God himself. Look at how this passage, this section concludes. He's been talking about the armor, put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Make sure you're holding that, the word of God. And then he says, and pray in the Spirit. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. For what? For the Lord's people? Pray for me also, Paul says, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Yes. We get to meet with God in prayer. Think about that. We get to sit and talk. Imagine getting to sit and talk with your favorite actor or your favorite singer or the mayor of Utica. We've had the mayor of Utica here, and it feels a little bit like an honor to have, you know, a political leader here visiting the church from time to time. Imagine meeting with the governor. Now, I know what you're thinking. I get into politics, and you're like, I know, I say to them, okay, all right. Imagine it's somebody you liked or the person you voted for. I don't know. This analogy can break down quickly if you get the wrong person in mind. Imagine being able to sit with the president or the leaders of many nations together in a room, and you get to talk, and they will listen to you, and they will interact with you. Man, that sounds great, but you know what? That means nothing. That's meaningless compared to being able to meet with the King of Heaven, with our Creator, with our God. And we get to do that every day. We get to do that around the dinner table with our kids or our grandkids. We get to spend time with God together, talking to him, and he listens to us, and he interacts with us, and he answers our prayers. That relationship with God is what really gives us power for living. At the very beginning of the passage today, we read, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." He's given us these mighty tools, but our real strength comes from that vibrant, growing relationship with God, to be meeting with him all the time. He says, pray on all occasions, as often as you get. Why would you go a day? Why would you even go a whole hour without spending some time with the Lord when you can? Paul gives us some important topics to be praying about. They're all regarding the battle, right? That advancing kingdom of God that's pressing into the enemy territory. All these prayer requests have to do with it. He says, pray for the Lord's people. Pray for those that are sharing their faith. Pray for them to not be fearful, but to have boldness when they share Jesus with others. Pray for the persecuted. He talks about his chains. We have brothers and sisters being persecuted all over the world, like we don't understand personally. We need to be praying for them, and we can, and God's listening and answering. And Paul says, pray for believers to share their faith no matter what. Remember, he's asking for this while he's under arrest, while he's in chains. And he said, don't let this stop me. Pray that I'll still boldly proclaim as I'm supposed to do. And that's for us too, as God's ambassadors. This growing relationship with God in prayer will strengthen you from the inside out. And so just as we said about studying the Word of God together, make praying together in your family one of your highest priority. Let your kids see you praying. Sometimes I got the 9/11 alarm that we encourage you to do, just to remember to repent at least once a day and to ask to be revived by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We set that alarm, and it'll go off in the middle of the day, and my kids know, my wife knows, you know, what it is. It goes off, and I mean, I might be talking. I'm like, hold on a second. What were you saying? You know, and they know it, and they know that, and I'm okay with that. You know, you might say, that's a little rude that you do this to them. Well, for the Lord, I'm going to do this to them for a second, okay? They'll understand, and they're learning a good example. But spend that time in prayer. We do this as a family at bedtime, and at our dinner time, we pray together, and the kids pray. It used to just be Leah or me praying. Now we have the kids praying too out loud. It's something good for them to practice with other believers. It's not super holy sounding. I always just wanted them to know I'm just talking with the Lord. I'm just talking with our God right now. I'm not trying to sound like a super crazy religious leader, great, awesome religious leader. I'm just your dad, and I'm talking to our Heavenly Father, and I want you to talk to him that plainly too, because you get to, and it's such an honor. Our main idea today, to bring it all together, you want to write it down if you haven't written down anything yet, goes like this: grow in strength from Jesus to succeed where he sends you. Because Jesus does send us out to battle. If you belong to Jesus, he's said, you're his ambassador. Get out there, tell people about Jesus. Share the good news. Share my love with people. Share the warning for sin with people so that they'll know they have to escape this wicked kingdom and receive the forgiveness from their sins. Give them an opportunity to do that. He's sending us out to do it, but he's giving us everything we need. Every outside tool, the spiritual armor, the weapon to advance, and even the strength from the inside out that comes from our relationship with him. He has fully equipped us to do so. Prioritize being a part of that advancing kingdom in your family and growing in that strength to go do what Jesus sends you to do together as a family. I just want to highlight a few examples that have been happening lately. These encouraging examples of how this has been going on at our church, how people have been prioritizing being a part of God's advancing kingdom. Of course, just last Sunday, we prayed for those that were going on the mission trip. And we've got a group in Brazil right now that's ministering down there, sharing the gospel with kids that have been saved out of being orphans or being trafficked, human trafficked, and encouraging the believers that are working down there in that ministry, and probably being encouraged by them too. There's another group going later this week. I hope you're keeping both of those teams in prayer. Another great example of how people around the church have been reaching out to people with the gospel is our door-to-door day for Reach for the Streets. We did that last weekend, and we went to 51 homes and had about 20 conversations out in our neighborhood with people, where we offered to pray with folks to see if we could be neighborly, you know, maybe help them out with a task or something, or if they need a neighbor, come and call us. We'll be a neighbor to them. But we also, of course, invited them to church, and we carried the gospel message on a flyer and left it with every single person. Even if the person didn't open the door, we left at least left them with the flyer that had the good news on it. Now, 51 homes might not sound like a lot. It's still great. It's great, but it doesn't, maybe you're like, oh, 51 homes. Okay, well, that's nice. I'm glad. But, you know, we've been doing this for a couple years now, and this map that we've got up here, this shows all the streets over time that we've gone to. We just go out to a few homes every it's usually the third Saturday of each month, just one Saturday a month. And look at, you can see Stony Creek Church in the middle of the map there, right just above Dairy Queen. is that how you tell people how to find church? Like, right across from Dairy Queen. All right. But look at all of these red lines going out. They represent streets where we've knocked on every door, both sides of the streets, and invited people to church, invited people to trust in Jesus, prayed with people, left them with the gospel message. It's 583 homes in total where we've given a personal invite and knocked on their door. Not just a marketing campaign, not just an ad in a newspaper, but really saying, hey, we're your neighbor and we care about you. That's a big deal. And then in addition to that, we've had our seed planter ministry has kicked off serving at a new location, Sterling Heights Estate. There were four volunteers from Stony. These are a couple pictures highlighted there. They got there at 3:30 on a Thursday to set up, and then at 4 o'clock, they spend time giving out some food and hygiene products to people that have those kinds of needs, along with sharing the message of the gospel from Scripture and spending some time in prayer with people. And it's real simple. It's a simple formula, but people have been really encouraged by that. This group went out last Thursday, but it's a weekly thing. So if you're interested in being involved, you could always fill out a connection card, and we'll get you the information. And then, of course, this week, the big one, there's some evidence of it around me here on the stage, was VBS. We had over 100 kids in total come throughout the week and hear the gospel message. And yes, clap. That's good. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And guys, it was so clearly taught. I overheard some of these messages, and man, they did such a good job teaching all the different leaders, from the adults and the student ministry as well, did such a fantastic job. And we didn't just have church kids there. We had, as you know, you probably heard, we put flyers in two public elementary schools, and they were delivered to each class in the school, and we had families come out and visit this and sign up from these schools. So we got to share the gospel with people that, as far as I know, I don't know if they've ever heard the gospel before. And if they have, great. And if they haven't, even better that we've been able to share it. Well, I'm not going to talk too much more about that because we're going to show the highlight reel now, all right, after we close in prayer. But we are going to dedicate this week's offering before we show the video. And I want to remind you, and I bet you'll be reminded again at the end of service, that we do have the newbie lunch today. I hope to see you back there. And then one last important announcement before we close in prayer is that next Sunday, we're going to have one service. It's 4th of July weekend. And so we're going to have our 10 o'clock, one big service here at 10 o'clock. It will be indoor this time. We did the outdoor one for Memorial Weekend. It'll be indoor, so air conditioning, all right? And we'll have the full kids program will be running, so the kids will go back there and have a blast, and then you can get off to your, you know, festivities or whatever you're doing for 4th of July weekend after that. Well, let's pray together, and then we're going to watch this highlight reel. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that even though we were lost because of our sin and held captive in the enemy kingdom, as enemies of you, you sent Jesus to rescue us. We were powerless. We couldn't change where we were, but Jesus paid the price for our sin on the cross so that we could surrender to him and be rejoined to you. Thank you for Jesus. God, we recognize right now that our Lord Jesus doesn't just save us from our sin, but he saves us for living for him. And that includes going out into this world as your ambassadors to tell people the good news that Jesus is Lord and that he saves when we trust in him. Lord, may we do that. May we be empowered by your Holy Spirit from the inside out, from a growing relationship with you, to go out and do what you have us left here on earth to do. And God, may we daily pick up our armor that you've given us and our sword, the word of God that you've given us, to be able to go out and be effective at what you call us to do. Lord, I thank you for this great VBS and all the people who helped out. May this just continue to bear fruit in the lives of these kids and these families for years and years and years to come. And Lord, we dedicate our offering to you. It's an act of worship, not a repayment plan. It's an act of worship and thanksgiving to you. Bless the offering. Use it to advance your kingdom as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.